Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina, Norca Karina, more accurately, my sweetheart's first and middle name, coming to you from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to probably conclude our series on overcoming depression, and this will be part three. Now, of course, if the Lord may lead, we will do whatever he has for us if that's to continue on or to move to a new series. But right now, it looks like this might be our final part on this series. And the reason why also is because we also know that other series of podcasts interconnect. When we talk about fighting a good fight of faith or how faith works and different things of that nature, that can also be connected to series like this because we use our faith. We fight the good fight of faith, which is a series I'm wanting to do here soon on fighting the good fight of faith. So that would easily connect with this series because we use these things as tools and instruments in order to be able to fight the enemy. Because how are you going to defeat something that's spiritual and overcome the enemy if you do not know how to fight the good fight of faith? You know how to put on the full armor of God. And I just had a young man ask me yesterday at church, and he says, "Pastor, how do I put on the full armor of God?" And I thought, wow, we really do need to do some teaching on spiritual warfare, because what we sometimes have learned over the years and so easily now take for granted,
that's true,
because we know it so well, that doesn't mean everybody does, even people that are, you know, in our church. So we're going to, you know, continue on with a very variety of series of topics, and yet they always interconnect, because the whole counsel of God produces the whole truth of God's word and his will in our lives. So with that being said, before we get started into this, I'd like to introduce my beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Thank you so much, Hamoud. What a beautiful introduction. And it is even more beautiful to know that we have a wonderful, amazing, powerful, merciful God who is always with us, and his desire is to bless us. What we are sharing on this podcast is the Word of God, and we want to repeat that and make it clear so that our listeners just have a heart open to God's Word. And we pray that everyone who is listening will actually pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and the eyes of your heart to what he wants you to hear today. For we know that God's plans for his children are good plans, not to harm you, but for you to know and taste his goodness. God is so good.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. And yes, it's very important, the things you just said. And one of the key things that I picked up on that was, you know, how the enemy will try to block your mind from being able to receive, that, you know, that God will open up your heart,
right,
and mind to receive. And sometimes that does take an action of spiritual warfare for that to happen. You know, because our base text is from John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "A thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." So we know the enemy will also come to try to hinder,
that's right,
revelation from coming.
That's right.
And try to block the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have that even in the parable of the sower, where Jesus was said that when the seed is sown on the roadside, it says the birds of the air come and devour it. And when he gave the interpretation, he said it was Satan comes, mm-hmm, immediately and takes that which was sown in their hearts. Well, how does he do that? He does that through putting negative thoughts into their mind, contrary to what God has said. Like, for example, no, depression isn't abnormal. It's not spiritual. It's not the devil. It's just your personality.
Right.
You know, and we were talking about this, sweetheart, prior to us doing this recording, is when I made the statement in one of the earlier podcasts that, or the previous podcast, when I said, when a person has depression, they know it. And you said, not everybody does know it. And you know, you're right. And I assume because most people, I would say most people who have depression pick up on it, but that doesn't mean everybody does. And besides that, even if they pick up on the fact that they have depression, they certainly don't know necessarily what the source of it is,
right,
and how to deal with it. Because my dad used to tell me that he suffered depression for years. And he even told me not long ago, this course is, he's passed on now and went to heaven, but he was telling me how that he had been on, even in the latter years, been on antidepressant medication, but they haven't really done any good for him.
Mm.
And what we find out oftentimes is, you know, even in the medical arena, what's offered as depression medication, antidepressants, often don't work because of the fact that they offer a supplement to it. You know, this be an addition to what you're taking. Take this additional, whatever you want to call it, a supplement to this thing. You know, because the fact is, if it was working, you wouldn't need something else.
Yeah, right? That's true. I remember now that you mentioned that, one of the ladies who shared a testimony on that, she said on depression, she was taking medication. And I was honestly surprised when she said, you know, if anybody out there, if you're suffering depression and you're taking medication, you need to know that this is only going to calm it for a little while. It isn't going to take it away. And I thought that that was such an honest coming from experience, because she suffered it for, I think she stated 10 years, coming from experience statement, wanting to help those that are going through it. So God is so good. And not that as we're sharing, we are claiming, you and I, obviously, to be professionals on this field. We are sharing what the Word of God says. It's not a matter of sharing opinions, although testimonies are very good, especially those that have been going through it. But it is good to know that whatever it is that you are going through, as you mentioned, you may think it's only personality, but the Lord wants to bring light to any lie that we have embraced and become familiar and just cohabitate with, because the truth will set us free.
That's so true, sweetheart. And even what you just said about people believing it's their personality, you know.
Because some people are just kind of introvert, right? We know people that are not so outspoken, kind of like to be on their own, like to read more than see other people. And, you know, maybe we can just take a minute to just say, what would be the difference for someone who's saying, oh my gosh, I thought this is just how I am. This is my personality. I'm an introvert. So how do they know, or how would someone know, no, wait a minute, there's more than just this is just personality. This is something that you need to look into, because this might be depression.
Yeah, I think one of the things would be is, how does that make you feel?
Hmm.
You know, when people say, I'm introverted, I'd like just to be left alone. You know, they're loners, they're mm-hmm. isolationists. Is it peace that mm-hmm. you feel like when you're in your room by yourself with the door shut and you're reading a book? You know, because some people like to read, they like to do different things. Or are you depressed in terms of the blankets over your head and you just wish you could die?
And hopelessness.
You know, right. And you feel hopeless about life. What's the purpose mm-hmm. of going on? And having suicidal thoughts and wow. things of that nature. You know, those can be some extreme. But wow. some of the more milder things would be like, you know, I just don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like, you know,
nothing's going to change.
Right? Nothing's going to change, and it doesn't matter what I do. And sometimes, you know, people can binge watch TV shows. Mm-hmm. I used to do that when I was depressed. Sometimes I even go to the movies, you know, and watch 3 movies in a row in one afternoon, an evening, because I was depressed and hoping that would take my mind off, you know, what I was depressed about. You know, for then at certain times there were events in my life that, you know, were very depressing. But, you know, I'm not going to get into all that now. It could be a divorce. It could be, you know, a sickness. It could be, you know, how people are treating you. It could be any number of things.
Yeah.
Challenges. You lost a job. Who knows, you know, what it might be. Or you had a diagnosis medically. You know, so those things can contribute to those facts that things are going to get worse, not better.
And the enemy loves those opportunities, right?
So what we want to key in on here, if this is, you know, indeed going to be our last part, is these things concerning open doors, which I mentioned in the last part, because this is an area we haven't talked about yet. You know, because if you haven't listened to the first part and the second part, I recommend you go back and listen to those first.
Yes.
You know, because this third part, I don't want to as much reiterate all of that, you know, at least in length, when that's already there in audio form. Mm-hmm. So open doors is one of those things as well that will, when I say open doors, I'm talking about spiritual open doors, where through sin or through generational curses or something of that nature, that will open the door to the enemy to have a legal right to be in your life. And somebody says, well, I don't understand that. I don't know if I even believe in all that. Well, listen, and you obviously can make up your own mind for yourself if you want to believe this or not. But the fact is, what we're giving you is from our experience or knowledge of what we know and what the Word of God says. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, I think it's Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give the devil any place. I'm going to look that up and see if that's where I'm thinking. Yeah. Ephesians 4:20 says, neither give place to the devil. Well, and he's talking to Christians. So obviously, even a Christian can give place to the devil. And by with that, open that door where he has legal access into their life to attack them. And sometimes through our disobedience of the Word of God, through our living in sin, we can open those spiritual doors to the enemy to come in and to do things in our lives. Now, maybe, you know, somebody says, well, what can he do in your life? He can make you feel depressed. He can make you feel anxiety, suicide, depression, sickness, disease, all kinds of things. Matter of fact, about anything you can think of that's negative, he can put on you. And you know what? He will, if you let him. But see, the remedy to all this, obviously, is getting to know first and foremost that God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And that plan doesn't include living a life of depression. That life is a life of abundance, of joy and peace. His will for you. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Then, of course, there's going to be people that are going to come along and say, well, you know, but you're preaching a one-sided gospel. You know, there are scriptures that talk about suffering in this world. Well, true, the Bible does say that, you know, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what does God say about it? It says, but he shall deliver us out of them all. So even though we may at times go through different seasons and periods of times in our lives where we may suffer persecution or what have you, God has a plan to deliver us out of it. And matter of fact, many things, this is going to might sound strange to some, but many of the things that people go through wasn't intended for them to go through at all to begin with. Because where there is a scripture that says not to give place to the devil, then obviously that means don't open the door for the devil to attack you unnecessarily. So which means he can attack you unnecessarily. You know, we're going to have attacks even for living righteous. But worse than that is being attacked when we have opened the door to the enemy to attack us. And so what are kind of some of those things that we're talking about? Like I just said, you know, sin. You know, somebody says, well, you know, we all hear about sin. And I think most everybody listening to this podcast or who will listen to knows what sin is. But for those who may not have an idea, sin is violating God's word. You know, some people think it's okay to have sexual relations outside of marriage. It's not okay. It's sin. You know, it's sin before God. And to have evil thoughts, to rob a bank. Most people know robbing a bank is wrong. Most people know stealing is wrong, but a lot of people do those things anyway. Right. Well, you know, I needed it because I got a fix. I need my fix, you know, so they need some money for drugs. So they'll steal from their own parents.
True.
Steal from their own children, whoever they can. You know, even their best friends, they'll steal from. And I don't know how long they're going to stay best friends, but the fact is, you know, people steal for a variety of reasons. People commit sin for a variety of reasons. And sin opens the door for the enemy. Now, when you open a door for the enemy, you don't get to choose how the enemy is going to attack you.
Okay, so,
you know, it could be, you know, what you may say reciprocal to what you did, that he'll come and steal from you if you stole from someone else. But he also could come and just put some sickness and disease on you, you know, and then next thing you know. But the interesting thing is God has a plan of remedy, and it's called repentance.
Amen.
It's called acknowledging one's sin and recognizing that Jesus is the salvation for their sins, because his blood was shed for the forgiveness of their sins, and if they receive him, they'll be forgiven, and then they have the ability to be cleansed from that sin. But, you know, when we get into things like that, talking about being cleansed from one sin, because let me give you the scripture on this so that you can actually see this clearly. 1 John 1:9, and I'm going to turn to and just read it verbatim. 1 John 1:9. Says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what?
Cleanse us.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
let's give a scenario here of a hypothetical. You know, because I see this when some people say, well, you know, when you've been saved and born again by the Holy Spirit, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from all the past. So if there was any generational curses, they've all been wiped away, because he says he makes you a new creation, as it says in, I think it's Romans 5:17. Let me go back to that real quick, dude. Or is it 2 Corinthians 5:17? Yeah, it's 2 Corinthians. I get those mixed up sometimes. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true from the spiritual standpoint in terms of God's seeing you justified through the blood of Jesus, because you've accepted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But here's the thing. When it says you become new, basically what that's saying is you've been given a new start. God doesn't hold those things in the past against you. He's not counting your sins anymore, because it says he remembers your sins no more. However, the Bible also says in Romans 12:2 to be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Right, and even in the previous verse in Romans 12:1, it says that we may, by the mercies of God, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, be transformed through renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, see, that goes hand in hand with this new creation. Because if you're going to become a new creation, but yet you continue to still live in sin, then how is that cleansing process going to take place? You know, you take a pig out of the mud, and pigs love to wallow in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Some say because it keeps them cool, you know, and maybe that's the case. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that, but I grew up in my teenage years next to a pig farm, and sure, it stunk to high heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they did exactly that. Big, heavy pigs, I mean, some huge ones. They're out there wallowing in the mud. They love the mud. And you'd hear people say this as an analogy. You can take the pig out of the mud, you're right, but you can't take the mud out of the pig. You know, or use that analogy for people. You know, I remember one guy said this about a girl he dated, you know. And he said, you can take the girl out of the projects, but you can't take the projects out of the girl. Well, that's not true for everybody. You know,
that's true.
But it is true for some people. The fact is, if you have a sin mentality,
right,
you think it's fine to live in sin, and you come to the Lord Jesus, you're supposed to come to repentance about sin. You know, how do you receive Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins if you don't acknowledge sin is sin and you got to turn from it? Because it ain't about saying, well, yeah, that's wrong, but you're going to keep robbing banks? You're going to keep living in adultery and fornication? You're going to keep stealing from people?
Dishonoring your parents,
right. Any number of things, right? So what am I getting at is this, those open doors stay open.
Hmm.
Now, I know there are miraculous changes that take place sometimes in people's lives when they come to the altar to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they become born again, and bam, all of a sudden the desire for alcohol and drugs, smoking, whatever it might be,
right.
All those sinful desires are gone. But that isn't true for everybody. It doesn't happen like that for everybody. Sometimes people have to get up from the altar and have to make that quality decision. You know what? I'm not going back to that area again. You know, I used to tell guys in the prison when I did in prison ministry for 27 years is that when you leave out of here, you need to make a quality decision. You're not going to go hang out with those people who used to hang out with it, lived in that lifestyle.
Right.
You know, it's easy for you to do here now in this prison because you can come to Bible studies and all that, and you're kind of in a sheltered environment, even though, you know, drugs were still finding their way into the prison, but not quite as easily and available as it is on the streets. Because on the streets, you can just go anywhere and get it, right? They have a difficult process to get it into the prison. But the point is it's a different environment in the prison that makes it easier, more conducive to want to serve God. Wanted to go to church, but as soon as you get out, the temptation is right there to go back to the old way of life, and you have to make a quality decision, you know, whether it's coming out of prison or whether it's just coming out of sin, is I don't want to go back that way. And so you're going to need God's help to do it, and he will help you because he's there to help you. And of course, praying for our loved ones and people we know is very beneficial to try to help people with coming out of that lifestyle. But people have to recognize first and foremost that sometimes the very things they're going through is because of open doors. That they've opened door to the enemy through their lifestyle of sin. And I'll take that even further to talk about stuff that we watch on television. Or movies and different things like that. If we're watching a lot of violence, we're watching a lot of stuff that has, you know, sexual immorality in it, a lot of profanity, that is a gateway that opens up a spiritual realm into our home. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know what, I'll never do anything like that. You know, I watch these movies and they're killing everybody and all that. I'll never kill anybody. No, they may not. But we do know this, serial killers have gotten a lot of their ideas from watching movies. They've even testified to that. I've heard them, you know, on their testimonies of their lifestyle. I got that idea from watching that one movie, you know. And but you might say, well, I'm not going to follow in those footsteps. But yet you still open a door for the atmosphere to change in your house. Because when you create an atmosphere of violence through the airways, especially on a repeated basis, and an atmosphere of immorality, uncleanness, profanity, you bring all kinds of spirits in. And some people start wondering why they start having an anger problem, start wondering why they have a short temper, start wondering why. And yet some of the signs are right there in the stuff that they watch on television. Because I've known people who, while they're watching the scene, they're so locked into this thing, they start building up the anger that this bad guy's getting away with what he's doing. And they'll even rise up and say, they need to kill him.
Right.
And want to carry that out into real life. Well, how about wanting to see the guy get delivered and saved and the devil cast out of him? I don't hear too many people doing that, even amongst Christians. Well, he needs to get the devil cast out of him, get saved and set free, and he can become a person that God can use to help save people's lives. No, too many Christians want vengeance and want evil to happen to those who are evil. Yeah, but the Bible tells us to love our enemies, to pray for those who spitefully use us. So we, you know, in some ways, many Christians have come a long ways from what the Bible says to do.
That's
and then
right.
we wonder how we may have opened the door to the enemy.
Right. I was going to jump in and add to that, because that is so key and so applicable. There are so many things that we come into agreement with, and I think that's so vital for us as Christians to understand that when we come in agreement with things and sympathize with things of darkness, that's not God's will. And I wanted to also expand or I would say make a little emphasis when you were saying, so what's sin? What is sin? And I remember as a young believer, somebody asked me that question once, and now looking back, I'm like, that was the wrong answer. Somebody asked me, you know, what is sin? Is this sin? And I remember saying, well, is your conscience okay with it? Because that's what I had heard, that if it's okay with your conscience, that if your heart is okay with it. Once again, I was a very, very young believer. And now looking back, I'm like, what? That was definitely the wrong answer. Because we cannot go by what our conscience says. Even our birds are agreeing with this. We have to know what the Word of God says. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the truth that brings light, that brings freedom. So I want to repeat that and just bring it up again, because many people now may be wondering, well, if this is this a sin, is what I communicate, is what I do a sin, is the way I treat my husband, my wife, my parents, is that a sin? You know, because some things are very obvious, as you said. No, I've never killed anyone. But there are so many things that are not God's will for our life. And it is so good to come in agreement, full agreement with God. And as we do that and know the Word of God, we will see that the Holy Spirit will show us, because that's what God does. He teaches us and He shows us what His will is and what are the areas that He wants us to take care of, so that those doors can be closed. Maybe we have enjoyed indulging in things that are not of God, and now the Holy Spirit says, you know what, I don't want you to indulge in that anymore. I don't want you to come into agreement with that anymore. I want you to come in agreement with my word, with me, the Holy Spirit. And we start seeing a transformation. Boy, I think our birds have something to say about that.
I don't know. Maybe they need a devil cast out of them.
Oh, boy. So it is such a good topic, and I am sure that the Holy Spirit is using this time. If you're listening to this, don't take it for granted. And as we mentioned in one of the podcasts, I think it was the first one, you might be saying, no, I don't need this. I'm not depressed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that the Lord has given you that grace to be free from depression, use this to now help somebody else also get free.
Amen, sister. That's some good preaching.
Amen, brother.
Some good preaching. Yeah, so we're going to probably here come to a close on this, because, of course, I can think of a whole lot more things we can say. But, you know, those can be covered in different ways in other podcast series as well.
Amen.
Because depression can come from a variety of sources. And, of course, like you said, this last one we talked about is opening doors to the enemy that we need to shut. So
right.
we're not saying that, you know, you'll never get attacked by the enemy. But we're saying we need to shut doors from being attacked unnecessarily.
That's right.
You know, just like you don't leave your windows and doors open at night every night and leave the house and go places to church or vacation, leave all that open, because you're not going to give opportunity to the enemy, to anyone to walk in and steal all your stuff.
Right.
So we shut the doors and we
lock them,
right? So we limit those types of cases. But in our case, it was Psalm 91. We believe God for total divine protection. But my point is, we don't do things unnecessarily to open that door. So that's what we want to conclude here with, you know, because depression can attack you outright for no reason at all, or it can be through an open door that we need to close off. Because what good does it do to take the pig out of the mud, give him a bath, put perfume on him, put a bowl around his neck, and then let him go back into the barnyard and be strangely confused about why he went back to the mud. Wait a minute, I just cleaned you up and put a bow around your neck and perfume. What are you going back in the mud for?
Right.
Because he hasn't, you know, I'm not saying he's going to make a quality decision to live a different life. But the point is we need to make that quality decision to choose to live a different life. And if we find it a struggle, then we just need to ask God to help us, because that's what the Holy Spirit is there for.
Exactly.
And we have series already done on the Holy Spirit, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit and all that. So I recommend if you would like to or need to listen to those, you know, go back or recommend them to somebody, because I know I can't overcome anything by myself.
That's right.
You know, the day that I thought I could, you know, when you're young, you think you can do everything.
Right.
But as you get older, you find out more and more and more that, you know, you really need the help of God and the Holy Spirit more than you realize. And it was Him doing a lot more than you thought you took credit for. You know, of course, we want to take the action and make the decision, but still we need help.
That's right.
And whether it's overcoming whatever addiction or whatever bad habit, or even creating some good habits, the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do that.
That's
so
right.
I want to leave with that God will help you if you turn to Him.
Amen.
You know, so we want to, I want to give this opportunity for my wife to make her altar call.
Amen. Absolutely. And, you know, as you were saying, that came to mind, that woman who was forgiven, and the Lord said, is there anybody here? Where are those that were accusing you? And they looked around, there was nobody there. Nobody could throw that first stone. But I'm always moved by what Jesus said to her. You know, He forgave her. And just thinking of that, getting out of the mud, God does not want you, God doesn't want me to stay in the mud once He's, as you read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, once He's made us this new creation, He doesn't want you to stay in the mud. He wants us to go move forward and walk with Him. And I love what He said to this woman. You know, He forgave her, but He said, go and just don't sin anymore. Just don't do this anymore. Leave that in the past. That was your old life. That was you in the mud. But I've come to free you. I've come to made you, to show you who you really are, who you really can be if you walk with me. So just don't do that. Close that door. Don't do that anymore. And that's beautiful. The way God just says it, Jesus said, is so simple, but it's so effective. Just don't do that anymore. Turn around, repent, close that door, and I'm going to show you who you really are. And we, of course, want to invite those that have not opened their heart to the Lord. Oh boy, today is a good day for you. If you decide that you want Jesus, you want to accept the gift of salvation, you do acknowledge that He is the Son of God and He died on the cross, you know what, to forgive you and to empower you here on earth, not only so that you can have an eternity with Him, but here on earth so that you can have the power you need to walk in this beautiful new life that He paid for you. If that's you and you say, yes, that's what I need, that's what I want, good news, you have to ask the Lord to come into your heart. You can, right now where you are, just let Him know that you accept His salvation, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and He will come to your life. He will give you His heart, and He will take away your sins and just wash you. So we want to invite you. We want to encourage you. Don't do that tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Say yes to Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So God, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See
God
you
bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.